You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Dr. Allison Marshall.
And I'm Dr. John Langlois.
And you are listening to the special monthly Chi University episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Tuesday, February 25th. Good morning, Horse World.
Welcome to our once-a-month look at traditional Chinese veterinary medicine with the Chi University.
So, John, how's it going down there in Florida? It's pretty snowy up here.
We've got the moisture, but it comes as rain. And as a gardener, I'm very grateful.
I love that. Well, I can't even call myself a northern gardener because this isn't really the north. It's just more north than Florida.
Yeah.
And we've been getting a lot of rain too. The Virginia clay is so heavy that like last weekend when we had just 2 days of rain after a whole week of rain, I was boggy in the backyard. It just doesn't drain very well, but I'm enjoying a snow day today. So it's perfect time to record a podcast. And we've got some fun stuff to talk about today for our listeners. We're kind of doing a little hodgepodge and a smattering of a lot of different topics, which I think will be really fun.
I do too. And I think one of our first areas, and we've not done this, and I think looking in May would be our two-year anniversary of doing these podcasts, but we have not done one in considering eye problems in the horse. So I'm excited, and I wanted to share that I had an opportunity a couple of years ago to present a paper to the conference for TCVM on ocular problems and how does the horse see and how TCVM can treat ocular problems. So I'm excited to be able to share a little bit of that. And I think maybe you have some couple cases that you have treated successfully. So I think it'll be a good way to go.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, why don't you start talking about your presentation? Why don't we start there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I did a lot on how does the horse see? And, you know, we probably won't go into that today. And that's, you know, information that's readily available as far as, you know, how, what range of vision it has and what colors it can see and interpret and how the position of the head sometimes might be create a disadvantage for it to be able to be visual. But I think we'll focus on, you know, on how TCVM can be incorporated into the process of an eye injury or an eye disease. And I think that, you know, I think all of the listeners out there kind of agree if they've come up and they see that the eye's closed and there's goo coming out of the eye and it seems painful and they're a little depressed, they're going to call their conventional veterinarian to come out and say, let's do a good examination on this and find out what the problem actually is. And
I love your medical terminology, by the way. Gook is kind of one of those things that I would use as well. I like gook. That's great. Yeah.
Yes.
That up.
You know, technically, we call that a phlegm or damp in TCVM, but gook, everybody knows.
For sure.
Yeah. So we want to maybe open the idea that TCVM can be super complementary to an eye injury, and that if you're having a TCVM practitioner or you want to consider this, there's a lot that we can do, again, complementary wise to the eye, because, you know, one of our treatments in TCVM was, you know, was acupuncture, and acupuncture is really good for modulating pain in the horse. So we know that when there's an eye injury, there's a pain, and you've all seen them, eyes closed, head down, squinting.
And look.
Yeah, you know that look, and it's somewhat, it should be alarming, because for me, eyes are an emergency in most circumstances. You cannot not sure. get to the bottom of it and sometimes get aggressive with your treatment right off the bat.
For sure.
So knowing that there's a standard treatment of eyes for conventional medicine, I've found that I can complement them with some. We have an actual ophthalmic ointment that is really good for which is an herbal ointment for use. And when we use our triple antibiotic ointment or other antifungal ointments, we can use this one as a complement to that to take the advantage of the herbal part in treating the problem. So, and you and I know as TCM practitioners, how beneficial TCVM can be to treating eyes, not just from the acupuncture standpoint, but also from the herbal standpoint, which is really important, and the food therapy standpoint. We know that these eyes get hot, and we know how we can treat the heat with acupuncture needles. We know that we can support the pattern that we find, and not all eye cases are the same. So when we look at an animal with an eye problem, we're looking at the entire animal in what we find as the pattern, and these herbs are going to be supporting for the pattern. So not every horse with an eye injury that is a uveitis goes on that particular herb. It's important for us as practitioners to find out what is the diagnosis. So, and then the food therapy complements that. We have lots and lots of foods that are very cooling that we can put in the diet, and we can go into that a little bit as we go along.
Sure. So I think one thing that I think we need to kind of talk about is the times that I've seen eyes as a Chinese medicine practitioner, they've tended to be incidental. Like nobody really calls their TCVM practitioner out as a primary call on a horse with a closed eye or something. So the ones I've seen have been on a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock when it's been my last appointment of the day and it's already an emergency call. And if I assess the eye, and one of the ways that we, when we look at eyes as veterinarians, the pupil reaction is really important. So if the eye might be a little banged up, but that pupil will still open nice and wide in a very dark space, like a dark corner of a stall, then I might put some needles in for eye stuff and say, if this is no better, you need to call your vet in the morning. You have to promise me to do that. And I think I've done that twice, and it's been a little while since I've done that. But in general, I think it's super important that we mention that eyes need to be assessed first with conventional medicine. That's just probably the most important thing, because they can get very serious very quickly. And I think that Chinese medicine can be super supportive of those situations, both. And I think the two main real problems that we see with horse ocular problems are some kind of a corneal ulcer, which translates as a scratch, really. They bang it, they scrape it, they do something problematic with it, or uveitis, which is also known as moon blindness. So that comes from inside the horse's body, and it's getting better and better understood, but it's almost like an autoimmune thing. Some people think it's started with leptospirosis. I think that belief is becoming more common now, but those are the two main things that we see. And Chinese medicine and acupuncture and those topical herbs and even some oral herbs. Like there's an herbal formula that you put in the food for chronic moon blindness, for chronic uveitis. And I've had that work really well too. So I think it's important to say, which I've said, regular vet first, but don't discount the Chinese medicine because it can be super helpful in managing these cases.
Yeah, and we had one just recently, and I think you're familiar with Lori Olson's horse, Max.
Sure.
Yeah, well, Max is a frequent flyer to come to the Qi University laboratories for both acupuncture and other things. But Max, on this particular day, I noticed his eye was squinting, and I said, have you addressed this at all? And she said, yes, I contacted the vet, and he said, let's put some triple antibiotic in it a couple times a day and we'll see where it goes. And we're 4 days later. And she said, after the first day, it really cleared up beautifully. And you and I know that an ulcer or a serious condition in the eye, treating it twice a day is not going to get the result that you want. When I saw it, I said, yes, we're going to focus today on treating this eye. And I looked in, and what the horse had was a corneal abscess on the outside limbus of the eye near the lateral canthus. So these things are very difficult to treat sometimes. So I said, we are going to do our best. And one of the treatments that we do with these are we actually take some of the blood from the horse. I took 10 cc's of blood, and then I put it about a cc, cc and a half in 6 or 5 acupuncture points around the eye. This is a recognized treatment and effective treatment for getting these eyes to respond. And just to even take it a little bit further, so the listeners can be aware that there have been many studies that have shown that electroacupuncture in certain points can actually release mesenchymal stem cells into the blood. So if you would actually take it a little bit step further, you could do the acupuncture, electroacupuncture, and then extract the blood and then put it in the points around the eye. I know it sounds like a lot, but it's not hard to do. And so that was one of my first approaches to it. And there was a lot of heat in the eye. And we know, having acupuncture points, that we can disperse this heat. And we also know that there are the herbals that we prescribe. But the point being, after this, I said, you need to go to the hospital. You need to get a infusion system put in, because you're not going to be able to treat this eye, because I could barely look at this eye myself without him throwing a fit. And you thinking that you might have to do every 2 hours or 6 times a day is going to be a battle. So I send him right to the hospital, get the treatment system put in. And I talked to her about 5-6 days later, after they went to the hospital, began their therapy. And she said, the eye is looking so, so much better. So point being, again, you've got to have a conventional veterinary standard of practice to get these eyes put in a good place. And then we complement them. And that's what we did.
Yes. I would say that I remember going to racetrack barn 15 years ago. And they had a horse with that subpalpebral lavage system in. I don't remember the condition because it's been so long ago, but I just remember, you know, they had the big face mask on with the cup over top of the eye. And I was there to do chiropractic and acupuncture and just to kind of do some maintenance. And so I did exactly what you talked about, is just did all of the points around the eye. And they said something that had been really languishing for about 3 weeks had really turned around just with one acupuncture treatment. So you certainly don't substitute, but it can be really helpful in supporting the body's healing and kind of rebalancing the body.
You know, and I really enjoyed, during my many years of conventional practice, treating eyes, and I would put in my own lavage systems in. But one of the things that we recognize, that if you're going to have a failure, meaning that you're going to have a negative result, it's going to be because you didn't treat the eye with the amount of frequency that it required. And that's why these lavage systems are so helpful, in that you can walk up to the horse, maybe even on the other side of the horse, and infuse the eye without a fight and a fuss. And that's why we're not successful, is because the horse begins to resent you opening the eye and putting medicine in. The lavage system allows for very user-friendly and very effective frequent treatment.
For sure. And I think it bears noting too, that, you know, our tears and horses' tears are going to be washing the medication out of the eye. So I loved eyes as well. And back in vet school, I did most of it, and they have huge contact lenses infused with antibiotics that they can put over an eye that needs, you know, more frequent treatment too. But it just, those eyes are really, really delicate. And I loved learning that the cornea of the eye, the clear part of the eye, is made up of 4 parallel layers of cells, just 4. That's it. And as long as they stay parallel, the light can go directly through them like a window. But the minute those cells have any swelling in them, or edema, or something that we would think about inflammation, it gets between the layers, the fluid does, and it makes it cloudy. So, you know, it's a pretty delicate situation. And for all those reasons, horse eyes go bad very quickly.
Yeah. And you know,
they definitely need aggressive treatment.
Yeah. One of the things that I do as a TCVM practitioner, if I have an eye and it's like this, the first time they noticed, I will go ahead and stain it, you know, to see if there is a break in those layers of the cornea. And if there's, and I'll use, you know, a fluorescein stain. But if I don't see anything and I still have an eye that's red and a little painful, I'll use what's Rose Bengal, which is another stain, to say, has the cornea just that, you know, the cornea has a kind of a mucus covering over the outside of it. And sometimes as they're rubbed real hard, that mucus layer is removed. And that makes it's almost like their defense for a few further or deeper problems that come from that. So, and if I see that, then I know that I can treat it pretty effectively with TCVM and not have to go into conventional medicine. I can do that pretty easily, and they heal up well. So it depends on, you know, what my diagnosis is, both conventional, if we just have a corneal rub or abrasion, but we haven't penetrated through, those are easy, but we can help them tremendously.
Right. And you and I both had, I'm going to shout out to Dr. Dennis Brooks, who's one of the best equine ophthalmologists in the country. And you, I think you probably studied under him at Florida, although you were like a half a century ahead of me, I think, in school, something.
No,
like that.
He was my teacher in school. Absolutely. And, you know, he's associated awesome. With a local practice here, a good practice in Ocala. So I have seen him on many cases by referring awesome. Him there after he left the university.
Yep. He was one of the best teachers I had when I was there. I really, really enjoyed learning from him. Yep. Yeah, he did. He really did. And he promoted such a curiosity of eyes that you and I both caught. All right. So with the other thing we wanted to talk about today, are we pretty much done with eyes, do you think?
Well, I think so. I think we've just, stressed the importance of it. And in combining a conventional look, it can be tremendously effective. I've had good successes with it. But again, the first thing I want to do is to get a conventional diagnosis, and then I want to get a TCVM diagnosis. And if we got both of those right, we should be successful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Some of the other cases that I have seen over the years, and again, you know, my practice is mainly sports medicine, but some of the other things that I've seen are just sort of chronic moon blindness. And it might be that when I'm seeing the horse, it's fairly well controlled, but they know that it rears its ugly head in certain seasons. All of that information, the seasons, all that sort of thing can be plugged into Chinese medicine to actually make a diagnosis more specific. And we can, it sounds crazy, but we can actually, you know, turn our needle prescription or decide what points to use based on that. And, you know, the other thing that I see pretty frequently, I think, is that those uveitis situations can occur more commonly in Cushing's horses. So what's super fascinating is, you know, that Chinese medicine puts those things together, that the Cushing's disease is related to liver and uveitis and eye issues, any eye issues really are related to liver. So it's kind of funny how sometimes things go together in Chinese medicine that don't seem to go together at all in our regular medicine. And it's what makes Chinese medicine a little more specific to some things, which is
it's a good point. And you know, the recurrent uveitis is like the number one cause of blindness in horses. So, and what we find is recurrent, meaning that it flares its ugly head. We go after it, putting out the fire, and then we go, okay, fine. No, it's not fine. Meaning this is something that could go back. And that's where TCVM has prevention and great way to keep it from ugly, you know, getting its ugly head up again. So that's where I think we can be of great benefit is say, okay, you have a horse that's a moon blindness horse. He's not going blind yet. He's got a little bit of corneal opacity, but not a lot. And he just got through an active phase. We can put him on, you know, once a month or once every quarter, follow up, keep him in balance, and it's less likely that he's going to have another major episode.
For sure. And, so I guess we weren't done talking about it, but now we're done talking.
Well, no, and I wanted to share one thing that, you know, in a lot of the things that we can, I learn from is from what's been done in humans ahead of us. And they, you know, they do a lot of good studies. And they had one study where they actually put an acupuncture point in bladder 67. You know where that is.
And for the people who don't know, it's on the very outside of the hind foot, or on the human, it would be on your pinky toe.
You're right. And so what they did was they did acupuncture in a controlled study and found out, and then did a functional MRI and found out that the visual cortex in the brain was hugely stimulated by putting just that one needle in. So when we're talking about helping the horse's eye, we have so many different acupuncture points that, and what you and I realize is that the farther we're out on the limbs, the further our treatment goes. So that point way out there in the back of the foot goes directly into the eye to treat it. And many of them do like that. And so we appreciate that and understand it. And that's why we become effective with our treatment.
Totally agree. I do a lot of leg points, and I think it worries a lot of my acupuncture students, a lot of the vets that come. I just do a lot of foot points and leg points, and I feel like it's super powerful treatment.
They're the most powerful. They really are. And so I encourage all my students to use your distal points always.
For sure.
So good. Cool. We can venture off a little bit if you want to. And one more thing that, just because we don't talk about it that often, or we do, is thinking about for the food therapy. There are many cooling type foods. I just wanted to list them if we haven't mentioned them before, that celery, cucumber, and watermelon rind, and chrysanthemum flowers. You can buy those in herbal shops or in a lot of different ways. There's like 100 different varieties of chrysanthemum flowers. 3 of them are used medicinally, and they're wonderful for eye treatments. In fact, I take a chrysanthemum tea every day, but that's because it has GI benefits, and that's my issues. But just want them to know that if I was incorporating an eye case, I would encourage them to use good, you know, cooling foods to cool that eye down and just help.
For sure, for sure. What kind of dosage do you use for chrysanthemums in a horse?
Well, I think it's more like in the tablespoons. Okay. You know, a couple of tablespoons twice a day is all, and they're wonderful. And I said, I have a tea that I have, and a Chinese company makes that tea, and I find it, you know, very helpful. I change it up a little bit with a bunch of different things, but the basis is the chrysanthemum tea.
Super cool. Love my teas.
Yeah, me too.
So how about we read some questions now? We've got questions from the Horse Radio Network Auditors Facebook page. So we've had a bunch of the questions like that, and I love them because they bring up a lot of cases and things for us to talk about the applications of Chinese medicine. So, you know, on the one hand, when I went to school, I thought, oh, I'll go and learn the acupuncture points for stifle problems and hock problems and diarrhea. And really, people ask me all the time, well, what's acupuncture good for? Well, actually, just about anything in the right circumstance. And not everything works in every patient, but acupuncture works in a lot of patients. So we're going to have a little smattering here of questions based on a bunch of different conditions that I don't think we've talked about yet. So should I read the first one?
Sure.
So this is from Katie. We've got a couple Katies on here, but this one is an all-star contributor. And her question is, what are some Chinese medicine treatment options for mares in heat? My mare was on Regimate before I bought her, but I didn't want to keep her on it. I bought her in the fall, and she was very steady and calm, although seemed to be in heat a lot. In the spring, she became much more reactive to things around her and sensitive to being touched. Even the softest brush irritated her. She settled down after a few months, and being brushed didn't seem to bother her anymore. But she still seems to be in heat more often than normal. She will never be bred. I'm hoping this spring I can help her be more comfortable. So my first thought is, what are the heat signs? You know, is she winking and peeing? And you're the reproductive expert, not me, but it sounds like maybe some kind of an irritation or potentially low-grade uterine or vaginal infection, huh?
Well, I'm gonna share that possibly, because from a TCVM perspective, you and I would say that this horse has liver qi stagnation. Okay,
yes,
that means
definitely.
That, and so we're coming into the spring, right, which is the season of the wood, meaning the wood element is going to come out, and a lot of these mares are wood mares, and they'll express themselves in very irritable ways. And that's for me, something that's going on is a liver problem. And the fact that she's staying in heat more than she should, that's usually a TCVM problem for us as well. We could explain it by doing an ultrasound of her ovaries and looking and see what those look like, and maybe some hormone tests and all that. But I have had such beautiful results treating TCVM for reproductive issues. And I want to just share a little bit, because this is what got me so excited. I actually took a position in Australia doing 6 months of the year working Southern Hemisphere time on broodmares and training horses. And mm-hmm. I was up against five horses, had 100 mares to breed, five horses that had 25 years of barrenness between them. They didn't cycle.
Oh, my goodness.
They didn't cycle. They didn't, you know, certainly didn't produce any children. And so I went to the Complementary Medicine Center at the university in Perth, and I met a veterinarian there, and she cookbooked me 5 points, gave me an electroacupuncture unit, 5 points. And long story, short story, all five of those animals, and I did them every week for 6 weeks, all five of them got pregnant and all five of them foaled. So that's what got me into, I've got to go get the rest of my TCVM education. And that's right
where
I
went.
That's so cool. Yeah.
That's so cool, John.
One more quickie. I'm working on a mare right now that was, she's nine now. She had, at I think five, she had her first foal. And then they tried to breed her for 3 years in a row. She's at one of the finest clinics in Kentucky, one of the finest veterinarians for reproductive medicine. And she wouldn't cycle in the spring. So this is the opposite of what's going on with Katie's horse. Wouldn't cycle at all. And they would set her up to be breed. She'd get a follicle and then stop. And so this went on for 3 years, spent a god-awful amount of money treating her. And the veterinarian wrote a letter and said, you know, maybe you should consider TCVM because I'm wiping my hands. I can't do it. We've done it. And right now I've got her after seven treatments. She is on her way to Kentucky, cycling beautifully, and I'm hoping we will make a baby. So for Katie, the Chinese medicine approach to your horse's problem is going to be really, really helpful. And you've got to work with the idea that her liver is not happy. And that's what's causing her to be so irritable when you brush her. And that's what I would do. Certainly, you should have a conventional examination to say that there's nothing going on pathologically with the uterus or the ovaries. But I'm telling you, that one is a perfect idea that TCVM could help.
Yeah. And my recollection of all that is that a horse that is winking and peeing a lot that's because potentially they have some irritation back in there from some sort of a low grade infection. So if they do what they call suck wind, or if they've got they've been in heat and somehow gotten an infection in their uterus, that's one of the ways that the body deals with it, is that it's sort of constantly irritated. And so she constantly feels like she's in heat. So it's important to rule that out. But
Absolutely. But
the springtime, as you're talking about, is the active time for the liver. And it's also like the time that horses get super grouchy. So, or super up, let's put it that way. And so we think about our horses being like frisky in the spring and all that sort of thing. And that is just to put it simply, it's the liver time of year. So it sounds like most of her situations and being touched is like, ooh, you know, it's hypersensitivity in the springtime could be attributed to liver. So there's a bunch of different approaches. There's also some Chinese herbs that I'm sure you've used more than I have, John, to keep them from coming into heat. I had a really good friend of mine that had a barrel horse mare that I just adored. We shared a birthday. Like we had a thing going, and that little mare had all of the checks and balances and had the repro specialist. We've got a wonderful repro specialist in our area, had him look at her and, you know, signed off on there's nothing wrong with her. She just, her heat cycles were very dramatic and she discharged a lot and peed a lot. So we put her on a formula of Chinese medicine that was heat stopping formula, and it didn't stop her heat. It just
fancy name,
right? I know. I love it when Dr. Shea does that to help us dullards figure out what to use these herbs for.
But I agree.
It really was helpful in her situation. She was very earthy. She was not a woody mare. So
right. And the one that I mentioned earlier with the mare that had 3 years of not being able to treat, when I first looked at her, her eyes, the sclera around her eyes was yellow. And that said to me, well, there's got to be a liver issue. And I went to put an acupuncture needle in and she about killed me. So I guess what I put her on? Liver happy.
Right.
And so one of the things that I would be hesitant to do with Katie's horse is to say, okay, put her on stop heat formula.
Absolutely.
We need to be on an understanding of what the pattern is. If it's liver qi stagnation, that means your liver is not happy and it's yuck, it's just backed up, then we know the formula that can work there. If it's related to another problem in the kidneys, then maybe we have to consider something like stop heat formula to balance that. So, and then we have herbal formulas that kind of balance the idea of two organs to maintain that pregnancy once it happens. She said it's probably not going to be bred, but she wants a happier animal. And I think TCVM can make Katie's horse happier.
Well, and sometimes, as you really pointed out, that you clear one pattern and there might have been something underlying. So there might have been some sort of a, you know, that she's irritated by her heats and she's had an accumulation of problems such that now we have liver qi stagnation, which is the TCVM version of just trapped irritability in our bodies. There's a lot more behind it, but for our listeners, it's just that they believe that our emotions can actually get trapped in our tissues. So the liver is kind of the seat of anger. No surprise, the heart is the seat of joy. And you can have too much joy, which I have found out in my life. I'm honored to have had too much joy in my life. It's been really fun. But, you know, our spleen is what takes on sympathy, which means like over-compassion. You can over-compassion yourself and the spleen stomach, the digestive tract goes out of whack. So lung is the source of grief and the kidneys are the source of fear. So when we see those emotions in animals, and Katie's talking about grouchiness in her horse at the liver time of year, it kind of fits perfectly. So it's really fun as Chinese medicine practitioners that we can treat the mind-body connection so much better than Western medicine addresses it. I just don't think Western medicine, I knew nothing about what to do with that when I was a regular veterinarian. So.
Yeah, and Katie, you need to stop giving a vodka and orange juice. That's not going to help.
Oh, wait a minute. Did she say she was drinking that?
No. But case in point, but Katie, you can look into your horse's eyes and maybe lift up the lids a little bit, and I'll bet you'll see some redness. And that redness is probably coming up from, again, that liver not being happy.
Yep, for sure. Well, should we do another question?
Very good. I'll let you pick.
Okay. I'll read it again. So I'll just go down to the next one, which is the next Katie. She says, I have a Clydesdale that is allergic to everything. Grass, most varieties, lots of trees, insects, weeds. I have allergy test results and will post them if needed. He suffers from chronic scratches, which for those of you who don't know that term, I know it as like a pastern dermatitis or chronic oozy, red, ulcerated skin down in the pastern area. And certainly with a Clydesdale, those feathers will exacerbate that dermatitis. We've shaved, oiled, sulfured, did immunotherapy shots for a year that were made specifically for him. He is in light work, usually an easy keeper, has good health, good feet. Is there something holistic that I can try? And I've got lots to say about that, but you want to give it a swing?
No, you go ahead first. I'm going to follow your lead.
I have actually... surprisingly, I've treated a lot of skin. And, I love how life brings us along. And so when I started Chinese medicine in 2005, I really thought I'd just do horses because I wanted to be a mom to my kids. And I was trying to be the best small animal practitioner I could be, but I'm not a very good one, I don't think. So I intended to just do horses. And because I was in small animal practice, wanting to get back to what I loved, I included about 20% dogs in the first 9 years of my TCVM practice. And oh my gosh, did that teach me about skin problems.
Sure.
So I had a lot of veterinarians in the Richmond area that were referring me skin cases that I'd never heard of before, but it was just because primarily herbs and changing food to rebalance the body. So our food therapy that we always talk about really helped. So, Katie, I can tell you that the chronic scratches and all of that, it is a tricky situation because we kind of have to stay on those things from Chinese medicine. So you'd have to find a person in your area that was good with tongue and pulses and good with herbology. You can absolutely treat those things with needles. And my first few horse cases, I did do some needles, even though they were referred to me by another acupuncturist in the area who did not do herbs. We did some needles to begin with. But often when you see goo, like what happens with scratches, and sort of skin flaring up. And if it's all year round, it's quite often due to an imbalance in the gut. So one of the first things that I would say that you could do while you are waiting for to find a TCVM practitioner, or if you need to, haul your horse into somebody, because you could see them 2 to 4 times a year and really do a great job by your buddy there. But Clydesdales and draft horses, I love a Clydesdale. I just think they're the sweetest, kindest, earthiest horses out there, and earth animals tend to have digestive issues. So I found a lot of really great results with my dogs, but also with my horses, in really supporting the GI tract as we, when they, there are acupuncture needles to literally clear the heat. So when you have that whole red skin problem and angry skin, there are literally needles that will chill that out and make it less red. So finding someone that can kind of walk that balance with you and get you started. But I can tell you that it's real doable. And I'll add one more thing there, not to be anti-conventional medicine, but our allergy shots do a couple different things to the immune system. And certainly in some animals they work, but they are a constant barrage of whatever these things are that this horse is reacting to. And they can really make them flare. So sometimes I find, it doesn't sound like you're still on them, but sometimes I find that the ones that don't have good reactions do better with Chinese medicine. But also that's kind of liver oriented with reacting to vaccines. So one of the horses that I treated was actually started on the immunotherapy and it made him worse. And he was seasonally summer, but it made him worse through the winter. So she didn't want to take him off of those medicines. So we worked around it, and we worked around it until the skin got better and she decreased her immunotherapy dosing. It's hard to know what to do for sure. And balancing that integration is super important. But
one of the things that you mentioned earlier on, that these allergic cases can be a little difficult. And I remember when Dr. Shea would talk to the beginning students, and he would say, when you begin, pick cases that are a little bit easier to treat, like musculoskeletal problems or problems in the lungs or problems in the GI tract. Immune cases or allergic cases are a little more difficult. That being said, they're very, very treatable. And one of the things that, I don't know if you are hesitant to use the term, but when we find these scratches in the lower limb, that's where damp wants to go. That is a pathogen in TCVM. It tends to be pendant. And where does damp generally come from? Right, the GI tract. So we have to be mindful that that could be the root of our problem. And we can put topical on all day long. I can give you a really good stuff to use, both conventional and herbal, but we've got to go after the root of the problem. And when, you know, we have some products in our business, a brush and shampoo and a salve and things. And when people come to us and say, you know, my dog is itching like crazy, and but you have to do two things. You have to be able to treat it externally, but you also have to treat it internally. And oftentimes the ticket is the diet.
I totally agree. I have found huge success. And I really describe, when I'm treating skin, I describe the herbal formulas to my clients as food is about half as powerful as herbs. So if I can hit the nail on the head with some supportive herbs or some cooling herbs, that horse that had the allergy shots, I used an herbal, I'm going to mention it, I guess, but I use an herbal to support nurturing the skin, but I also used a really powerful herb. I'll say it fast so nobody knows what it is, Longdanxigang. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, we used it for a month and that's all it took to chill that skin out. But you have to be very careful with that. And that's why one of the reasons John talks about having some experience with the tongue and pulse diagnosis and the herbs and what you're looking at and that sort of thing, because that's a super powerful herb. And when you use the herbals long-term and the real powerful ones, you have to make sure you don't throw the body out of balance in the other direction. But yeah, it is, you know, I love being an earthy person myself. I love the saying that if you don't know where to start with the body, you start in the middle. And if you put your hands on in the middle of your body, that's right on your gut. So a lot of times the gut is really helpful in rebalancing. And I find with my skin cases that really it all stems from the gut and a non-functioning gut.
Yep. And that, like that herb that you mentioned is, you know, it's a very powerful one for purging the heat and so on in the body. Yep. And oftentimes, you know, if you've got scratches going on consistently in the horse, there's heat in that body and you've got to get it out. And I say, we're very effective at that.
Right. And really it is that herb is specific for the heat, but also the allergy shots, the immunotherapy can cause more heat in the body. And that's why that's why I chose that herb, is because he was really being overly reactive to that. And I think it probably enabled my client to continue to use her immunotherapy because she really wanted to balance the Western and the Eastern. And I can't fault her for that, even though my gut told me that that was not the right thing for that particular horse. We worked through it. And that was all because of that great herb. So,
So Katie, as my dad would say, keep the faith. There's a good way to approach this such that you can deal with the root of the problem, because if you just keep putting out the fire, meaning you treat it as a symptom, then it's going to continue to come back and you'll get frustrated. So find yourself a good TCBM practitioner that understands how to treat these in a good way. And I think you'll find that holistically, you'll be successful.
And I know we're needing to wrap up with time, but I'm going to read one more question because it kind of relates to what we're talking about. And this is from an all-star contributor named Melanie. She says, how do you decide when to bring in a TCVM doc? I have a horse who is NQR. I love that. Not quite right. And has been through the ringer with sports medicine vet with treatments that have helped tremendously, but they wear off and I'm unsure of where to go now. And you know, the bottom line is the older I get, the more I realize that you don't know anything until you try. And that is with Western or the conventional medicine. That's with TCVM. And a lot of times the integration is a really strong approach. So I would just offer, Melanie, that you've done your due diligence with that. And now's the time to call someone in that does Chinese medicine. And I don't know what your horse's issues are. If they're lameness, when you talk about sports medicine vet, I would be thinking lameness, but there's a bunch of different herbs for arthritic change. There's herbs for arthritis that's specifically in the joints, in the limbs. If we know that there's a problem down there, there's great help with cervical herbs. Really, really the cervical herbal options are wonderful for helping neck pain, which can often be a very subtle source of lameness that, you know, we do some things and it goes away and then it comes back. So it's a tough call. That's the bottom line. It's a tough call.
Yeah. And Allison, you appreciate the idea that so many times, and I'm finding it as I'm maturing in my practice, many of my calls are from situations where conventional medicine hasn't given them all that they want. There's benefits, but it just doesn't do it. They want to have a better outcome. So we see a lot of that. And I can't tell you how many times I've had clients that have said, yeah, well, we go ahead and we inject the hocks and the stifles, you know, every 6 months, and the horse kind of seems to be doing pretty good by that. Well, after maybe 3 months of treatment, meaning 4 or 5 treatments, I've had many of them for years go without any further injections. Why? They don't need it. There's no pathology in those joints. They're all looking good, but that's a ritual that they go. And yes, you might get some benefits, certainly, if there's some inflammation there. But I can't tell you how many we've helped by getting them off of that program of having to use injections. Yes, sometimes I think they're necessary and I'll go way along with them. But I, as you know, and I know, we love musculoskeletal conditions. We can do so much benefit with the combination of our herbal, our Tuina massage, our food therapy and acupuncture. So bring them on. We love them. They're exciting for us to treat because I get a call down the line and says, thank you enough. How much better my horse is doing.
Right. No doubt. I just saw, this was yesterday morning, Tuesday morning. I just saw a little 10-year-old that we think is a Morgan that they are pretty sure was an Amish carriage horse and had a very sad story in between. So it was a little bit more of a rescue situation, but going over her body, she was, and that was another NQR. She was just not quite right. And she wasn't lame. You'd watch her jog, but she didn't look great. So just going over her body with the medical manipulation, chiropractic, whatever you want to call it. I do a lot of myofascial release, and I was thrilled with walking away from her after working on her. And I did acupuncture, I did everything. And I believe, because of how I've handled parts of my practice, I guess, that acupuncture alone is super great at releasing fascial tension. I can just do needles and come back and feel the horses, and so much of their restrictions are released just with needles. So I do think they're complementary, but I think there's an overlap as well. So I think even if there's fascial restriction, that little mare, they said they thought pulled a muscle in her hind leg. And the sad situation was that she was tied to a tree for like a year and a half with someone who wasn't very well in the mind, it sounds like, meant well, but didn't do well. And so, you know, the right side of her neck, like C3, 4, and 5 was super tight and elicited the weird behavior that she had been exhibiting. So we kind of diagnosed it that way. And you just never know till you try. And that's just the bottom line, Melanie. So I would do the best you can by finding a TCVM doc and hopefully one that enjoys sports medicine.
Yeah. And Melanie, you know, when we're training, part of it involves going through in a systematic way through the channels with the, like a pen cap or so. And we can understand, and there's been clinical studies that show about an 85% association with finding areas in that with specific areas. So for me, that's a huge exam to say, wow, I can focus on, I've stifled, I can focus on the SI joint, I can focus on a combination of things with some reliability. And in fact, I'm presenting a paper about how we can, how conventional practitioners could actually learn simply how to do this AcuScan technique and identify to complement the diagnostics that they would do, radiographs and so on. And their exam, we can be tremendously contributory to that process.
Amen. All right. Well, should we wrap it up for the evening?
I think we did good. And there's lots more questions. And
yeah, maybe we'll have another podcast about that.
That would be super.
So John and I are affiliated again with Qi University. And if you want to try and find a TCVM practitioner around you, the best way we have to offer you is to go to the website, which is tcvm.com. And under resources, there is a find a practitioner near me. And that would be the best thing that we could recommend to you. You can put in your zip code, right, John, and try and find someone close by that can
help you. Yes, you can do it, you know, 25, 50, 75 miles out and find out. And when you do, you'll be able to see that particular person's training and whether they have had, you know, trained at the Qi University or trained with the chiropractic and or other modality. So It's a good way, if you don't know of anybody, to go find someone to help.
Yeah, perfect. And our quote for the day comes from somebody named Florida Scott Maxwell. And it says, life does not accommodate you. It shatters you. Every seed destroys its container, or else there would be no fruition. Go forth and conquer.